Punters and dribblers, as always, we're brought to you by the greatest multivitamin ever conceived by man, Good Day. Now, the reviews continue to flow in thick and fast.
Have you got that one from the other day?
Yeah, can I read it out?
Yeah, read it out.
It's so good. It's actually fucking unbelievable. What has been really nice, Tom and I were reflecting on this the other day, is just how much people are finding it
beneficial to their
massively
life.
Beneficial to their life. I know that at the start there would have been a lot of cynics out there going, these cunts are full of shit, they don't know what they're doing, and you couldn't be more wrong, which just brings joy to my little heart and my little soul. Now I want to get up this absolutely elite review,
and we do appreciate the reviews, obviously. Look, it's like the feedback is positive, so that's good. But just being able to hear how it's helping you and the different ways you're seeing benefits helps us know, I guess, the most tangible. Cause there's like tangible benefits and there's intangible ones, like energy, for example. You can feel an improvement in your daily energy, whereas then there's like nutritional benefits like liver health or your fucking immunity generally being boosted. Those are ones where you don't really notice that until maybe you're on it for a while, and you say you've got two young children in daycare who come home sick as fuck, and then you just don't seem to be getting sick where you used to get sick.
Life-changing. 5 stars. Big fan of Hello Sports, so my viewers are always going to be biased. I actually bought it for my wife. Didn't mention who it was by and just let her see how it went for her. Mum of 3 kids and runs her own busy business while I also work 7 on 7 off away. After 3 days, she was hooked. Improved late in the day fatigue and mood. Come day 7, she had forgot to take her Good Day. Her mother was visiting and said the wrong thing and she snapped. Instantly says, I'm sorry, I haven't had my Good Day. Next thing, the mum-in-law is now tasting it and they're walking around the house like they both just discovered fire and were the only ones to know about it. Good result. Even got some alone time with the added less fatigue. With her, not her mum. That would be weird. But a look into the future, I suppose. So it's out there working its ass off, which is fucking terrific. There are downsides to being the fastest selling multivitamin of all time.
Yeah.
And that's that in the last month in particular, sales have just gone fucking through the roof,
which we love.
Tripled, I think, Tom. So we basically got caught with our pants down a little bit and not enough stock on hand.
Yeah, pants down, cold, little doodles.
It won't happen again. That's a Hello Sport promise. However, we are likely to sell out in the next probably 4 or 5 days, roughly. We will have stock for those with subscriptions.
Yep.
So you will never miss out. If you're a subscriber, you're good. If you are a new subscriber as of when we sell out, or you're a new customer, you won't be able to purchase. Well, you can purchase it, but it won't arrive for about 3 weeks.
Yes. So from here, if you start subscribing, you basically just locking it in so that when it lands, then you're good to go and you're straight back on the train.
So you'll know, Punters and Dribblers, we'll do a bit of a thing on the Instagram when we do a sellout, and you'll notice on the website it'll flick from buy now to pre-order.
Yeah.
So that'll be the difference.
Listen, it's not ideal, but it also really just means that it's been successful beyond our wildest imagination, and you just couldn't have planned for it to go as well so quickly. So we're fucking horny for that. We got more as soon as we financially could, we fucking ordered more. And it's just the way that it goes, the production, again, when you're getting primo quality shit, it takes time.
And it's got to be tested multiple times. There's a bit of a process. We've sped it up as much as we can. It is what it is, punters and dribblers. Bear with us. So we'll let you know when it sells out. But again, it'll be sometime this week. Again, and subscribers,
dude,
you're all good.
It's funny.
You're all good.
We've been looking at it going, geez, we might have a couple of days here where we don't have any. We'll see. But, you know, we should be all right. And then just each day it keeps growing. And there's like, obviously you're fucking pumped for that. But then you go, oh, shit, it might actually be a little bit more. Maybe it's going to be a week where we won't have any. And you're like, oh, fuck, maybe it's going to be 2 weeks. Then on the weekend, Eddie's like, it could sell out within days. I'm like, oh, my God. God, fuck. Yes, great. Thank you all. But also, fuck.
Yep. So subscribers, you're good. We'll let you know when it sells out, and fucking good on you.
Get the fucking pre-order in though. It's clearly good shit. You don't want to miss it. Just become a subscriber and then you're fucking good to go.
BeGoodHealth.com.au, code Dribblers for 20% off.
You are listening to the Hello Sport Podcast.
What's up, punters and dribblers? Welcome back to another All Talk brought to you by Good Day Daily Multivitamins, the number one multivitamin in town.
Correct.
Take care of your nutritional health today with Good Day Daily Multivitamins. Go to begoodhealth.com.au and you can get your supply there. Eddie, who are we talking to today?
Today, Tom, we had the absolute pleasure of talking to two of Australia's, fighting royalty, I suppose you'd say. Danny Green, one of the great boxing names to ever come out of this nation, had one of the most storied rivalries in the history of Australian combat sport with the great Anthony Chock Mundine.
Former world champion.
Wouldn't give us the information on how many pay-per-views they did back in, I think, 2006.
I asked him and then realized, like, when his response was like, oh, maybe that's like a rude question.
Yeah, but also tell me because I'm so curious.
Like, I was naive and I'm like, oi, like, so how many pay-per-views are you? He's like, nah, I'm not telling you that. And I'm like, well, okay, fine. That actually makes
sense.
That's
really annoying, Danny Green, but one of the great yarners.
He's the holder of 1, 2, 3 pay-per-views all time. Now, are we giving away, like, nice tidbits for the fucking interview? Probably.
Nah, maybe. Maybe not. The other one we interview sitting on the right of the great Danny Green was Tyson Pedro, recently retired from the UFC. Now, dipping in his toe back into the world of boxing. His first professional boxing bout coming up in June, I think June 12th.
Tom. June 12th against Chris Terevski. I think it's a name that's difficult to pronounce, but Tyson Pedro, Chris Terevski, June 12th. So he's coming back into the boxing ring. Tickets available right now from Ticketek. Go and check it out. It was great to sit down and have a chat with him. A
lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. You've got like the new and the old.
Old and
Danny
new.
Green promoter, Tyson Pedro, who's much more than just a fighter. He comes from like serious fighting stock. Australian, like punching on royalty.
And just a fucking great yarn.
Yeah, good fellas.
Both fellas are a yarnman going way back.
Yeah, yeah.
And respected fight royalty in this nation. So if you don't like that, you can fuck off.
You can jam it. Respectfully, you can jam it. Danny Green, Tyson Pedro. Fellas, thank you very much for coming in. Obviously, there's a big fight coming up. Is it June 12th? Where are we? Where's this fight going on?
Horden Pavilion.
Horden Pavilion. Now, I just want to, like, off the top here, I'm interested to know, firstly from you, Danny, how you're now a promoter. Like, have you got more empathy now for promoters having becoming one? Or is it, like, do you sort of have the experience of a fighter? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you sort of still have that fighter's mentality, or is it now you're like, Jesus Christ, promoting is more difficult?
We just had the press conference and I need a hug. But I've been promoting since 2002. So a good friend of mine, Molly Justin Manolakis, formed Green Machine Promotions back in 2002 when I first turned pro. I've been pro for about a year, and we put a show on in Perth and got some people that I knew, and he's one of my best mates and still is. And we sold out the stadium at Challenge Stadium there, and from then we never looked back. We did 28 stadium shows. And
okay, so you've been promoting through your whole career. Yeah. I had no idea about that.
If you ask my trainer, Angelo, he'll go, the bloke's meant, he's really, really, you know, tapped, because the pressure I put myself under for being the promoter and the main event fighter it was literally insurmountable. It's crazy. So now I'm just the promoter.
Yeah, so you're always
it's easier.
What do you, forgive me, but like, what does promotion involve? Like, what is there that you have to do that people just wouldn't fucking know about?
Message me all day.
Just hey, man, we've only just begun. You're gonna be screening my calls. Oh, look, from dealing with the broadcast station, so putting together a pay-per-view deal, then putting together fighters and dealing with managers and fighters promoters and fighters managers and dealing with fighters, dealing with the venue, dealing with insurance, dealing with everything down to the napkins that go on a table in the venue.
Jesus Christ.
You know, and then into the fighters and into doctors, insurance, I couldn't even begin to tell you. Then press conferences and weigh-ins and signage and then sponsorships and dealing with the – and I'm just starting to begin. I'm just scratching the surface of what goes on. So probably to give you an indication, I'm not exaggerating, and my daughter over there, Chloe, can attest if I'm calling this exaggerated. I've been on the phone for the last 3 weeks, and it'll be on average, like yesterday I was on the phone and computer for – would have been a minimum of – 17 hours.
Jeez.
17 hours. So I got 6 hours sleep, and then I maybe had an hour off the computer and the phone in that entire day from 6:30 till 12:30 last night, and the day before that and the weeks leading into that have not changed much. Would be 14 to 18 hours on the phone and the computer on average for the last 3 weeks. And then before that, it's, you know.
Would people say who knew you before you got into promotion, like, is this a natural progression, that something that you were always – did you have a business mind that also went with the fighters in sort of mindset? Have you always had that?
I've been involved in other businesses. So, you know, formed gymnasiums and did my own gyms and got a franchise that's around the world in gymnasiums. And yeah, and called U-Box, and that's in – founded it in Florida. So I'm a co-founder and director, and we were in the United States, just opened in Larchmont, New York, and it's been the strongest form of gym we got. We're in UK, Ireland, Japan, New Zealand, Singapore, around Australia, blah, blah. So
Jesus
Christ. I've been and had other businesses that I've – gymnasiums in Perth, large big box gyms that I've, you know, founded and then – formed, ran, and then sold. And so people who know me, though, who know me well, would go, he's tripping. That bloke is the most unorganised and the busiest man without a job title I know. He doesn't know whether he's, you know, coming or going. But sometimes somehow shit just comes together.
That's wild. I didn't know. I wasn't lying when I said before, like, we like to not do a shitload of research in terms of, like, you get a bit of an understanding of some things, but, like, largely, you know, I had no clue at all that you had gyms around the world. That's how long have you had that for?
I founded it in 2014. Then we opened our first concept store. I put my first one in my gym back in Perth that I sold, called Green Zone Fitness, like Z-O-N-E, Green Zones, different zones of different workout areas. Mm. And we put the first concept there. It was boxing and strength training all combined into 3 minute rounds and 1 minute rest and no lock in times. And then it went really well. So we opened the first store with my partners over in Brisbane, where they're based. Mm. And then from there, that took off, and we sold our first franchise in 2016, and we got 77 around the country, and we had more because COVID kicked us in the ass a bit. Mm. And then we've got we're the largest boxing provider in the world at the moment, and we're kind of a secret, but I won't go too much into that.
Yeah, yeah.
But going back into the promoters side of things, the stress that it can give a fighter or a promoter. But I was, when I fought Roy Jones Jr., I had to remortgage my house. I went inside to the missus on the phone. Up, I was on the wall because it was like early in the morning. I couldn't get reception. I was up on the wall on the phone to the other guy's promoter, doing kind of crunching the deal. And then my Angelo Hyder, who was my trainer and matchmaker, he set it up. And then I went and did the gritty stuff, but the details, and then handed it over to my guy Justin, who took care of everything. But I kind of did the main part of the deal, and I had to remortgage my home. Went in and said, "Hey, love. To make this happen, I've got to put $2.5 million in a bank account 8 weeks out in escrow to this guy's account, this lawyer's account. If we're going to make this happen, just to guarantee we could get Roy to come out here," because he wasn't sure, you know, thought these are these Aussies. Mm. And she said, "No worries, no problem at all." So, yeah, that's the and then the pressure that you face when that's on, when your house is on the line, if the fight doesn't sell, it's high pressure.
Oh, mate.
So you're really rolling the dice.
Burn the boats, hey?
Hey?
You're burning the boats.
Yeah, big time.
How was that lead up to the fight then for you, knowing that you got $2.5 million in escrow, you're fighting Roy Jones Jr., you're fucking, you know, got dead up to the eyeballs? Did that change that whole process for you, or just go about business as usual?
It was the best fight of my life. It was the best preparation of my life. I've never felt better, never trained better, never prepared better. Purely, there's a lot of luck involved in that stuff with injuries and stuff. You know, he'll get into that. Mm. And so, yeah, it was I never felt better. And then, to be fair, it was a pretty big deal getting Roy Jones in Australia.
Yeah,
and then when we put the press conference on, it went gangbusters. And then the first day, ticket sales went bonkers. So I was like, okay, that's eased my mind.
Thank God.
And then it ended up becoming the second highest pay-per-view in Australian boxing history. So it was you know.
And you sparked him.
Yeah, and got the job done, which is, forget the money. Would have done, would have done. If I broke even, I would have been happy.
Yeah.
I would have done it if I lost a bit of cash. You know, it was like a dream come true. So yeah, promoting can be very stressful, and every promoter that you'll speak to will say the same.
So have you got number one and number two pay-per-views in Australia?
And number three.
So what, you and Chock twice?
Number one. Yep. They will never get touched. Never. What not in our do? Lifetime.
Sorry, the first one or the second one?
First one will never get touched.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
The systems broke down the afternoon of the fight, which is the number one time when people press the button to buy the pay-per-view for like 3 or 4 hours.
Yep.
They couldn't cope with it. The systems shut down. Really? They were unprepared. And so we lost millions of dollars. And so it would have been even bigger. And the numbers, not many people would know the real number, and people wouldn't believe it if it was, but the real number will never be touched in our lifetime.
Oh, shit.
Number two was myself and Roy. Number three was myself and Chock. They're the three highest grossing
pay-per-views. The three biggest. There you go. Yeah.
So you're the pay-per-view king. You're the Floyd Mayweather of Australia.
Chock's the king. Chock's done the most. He's done the most pay-per-views. Chock's the pay-per-view king without doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the top three. He's been in the top two.
Yeah,
okay. So you would say before in the green room, we like to call it, which is TV term, that pay-per-views on Wednesday were sort of started by Chock when he moved them to a Wednesday to try and nail down the best time of the week. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah, mate. Chock's the pioneer of pay-per-view boxing in the country. Then I come along at a time when he was running hot and, you know, it was super controversial and doing his thing, and then I come along and I knocked out a guy that, and I was training with Jeff Fenwick back then. He was my trainer. So Jeff was, you know, Jeff's pretty outspoken, and so I was knocking a few guys out that, you know, he'd fought and went the distance with, and I knocked him out in one or two rounds. And the commentator said, "Dave, what about this Danny Green bloke?" And Chock goes, "Yeah, I knocked that bum out just off the cuff. Didn't even know me. I don't take it personally." So then the next time I fought, they asked me, "What about Mondays?" "Yeah, I'll fight the guy. Let's get on." And the media ran with it, and they ran with it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then Chock called me the corporate white guy. I'm a carpenter by trade. You never had a job in your life. You walked out of school into a 250k a year contract and playing rugby league.
Yeah.
So it all was, and the media ran with it, and our rivalry was crazy. But yeah, go back to it. Chock was the guy who was doing pay-per-views on a Monday night, and then he went to a Wednesday, and that's where it stuck. And people would assume you have a pay-per-view on a Friday or a Saturday night because it makes sense. But as we spoke about before, a lot of people are doing stuff for their family on that night or doing stuff for their friends and going away or whatever it is. Wednesday night, people are home. They've got nothing else to do generally. Not nothing, but they're generally home. That's when they're going to pick it up and potentially buy that fight and be entertained.
So that's Chock's legacy, the Wednesday night pay-per-view. There you go.
Yeah. Now, I want to, obviously, I don't want you sitting there saying nothing. I'm conscious.
No, you're good.
But
I was glad you asked.
I was going to have a nap and come back.
But so you've obviously just recently retired from MMA and UFC. Was that always on? Was it like a, if I don't win this fight, I'm going to retire? Were you already feeling like retirement anyway? I know you had a wretched run of injuries sort of through that mid period.
Yeah. So I haven't even really explained what happened with the UFC, but after the Sydney fight, I normally visualize or I can see what I'm doing goal wise with the fighting, and I just couldn't see it after the UFC. It was that was the biggest the moment, I guess, for the celebration to the home crowd to everything in Sydney. I was the only thing that beats that would have been a title fight, really, for me in that position. So afterwards, I couldn't see it, and then I asked UFC for a release because I just wanted to be home with my baby. I've been away for 12 months, the last 2.5 years. Just in fight camp. So I was and then they were all right, well, you're doing a fight this monster in 3 weeks. On 3 weeks' notice. So I was yep. And so then afterwards we've spoken to Danny, and it's moved pretty fast.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
So there was always, so the boxing thing only really came to after retiring from the UFC, or was it always?
I knew I was going to have fights here. So I knew that I wasn't finished fighting.
Okay, right.
So I knew there was going to be something at home, but it just all aligned when we met with Danny, and it's just moved a lot faster than I would have assumed.
Yeah.
So we never stopped training, and then we
went turbo.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah, it went fast.
And you had a junior boxing career, right? You were a New South Wales amateur champion or something?
Yeah, intermediate. So it was 5-0. And I always loved boxing. I grew up with boxing. My dad obviously ran cage fighting.
Yes.
The pioneer of cage fighting. And I think, you know, as a kid, you sort of want to impress your dad. So ended up going to the top of the world.
I know.
trying to impress my dad.
You love me now? Yeah. He's actually left, so he doesn't give a shit.
Are you proud? Yeah. I was going the right direction, but I think it was just a couple degrees off. And now that I'm doing this, it's all happened how it was supposed to.
Yeah.
But I feel a real sense of purpose. And what we're about to do is looks crazy to everyone else, but I got a belief in myself, and I'm going to shock everyone.
Yeah, right. And so what's the name of the bloke you're fighting?
Chris
Terzievsky.
Terzievsky.
It's a silent V.
Is he, and now just, this is just, I might be, he's the guy that fought Gallen, the Krzyzewski guy?
Correct.
Dominated him.
We saw that, we were at that fight at the Newcastle, the shed out there.
Oh, yeah, the Newcastle Entertainment Centre. What did you think? Yeah.
I mean, he fucked up Gal, didn't he?
Like at the end.
At the end. But I thought at the beginning, Gal came back at the end, and it was like, he almost.
That's right, he did come back at the end. And then it was actually got to a point where I thought he was going to win, Gallen.
Yes.
He was all over him in those later rounds. Yeah.
But otherwise, for most of the fight, he had Gal pretty sort of tied up.
Yeah.
There you go. So Chris, the big fella, as we said, that's the 12th of June. So is there anything particularly about him that, say, like fight fans or people who don't know fighting, like what's his style like?
Man, he's super athletic. He's like he's impressive, like his speed. He's got a lot of good attributes, but I just don't see a fighter. You know, he's like an athlete. And I felt that when we were standing across from each other. So I think I'm going to bring the fight to him. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Is this an eliminator fight?
We're fighting for the WBC international title.
Okay.
So it's a title fight.
Right. Mauricio Sulaiman loves this bloke. And Mauricio Sulaiman's the president of the WBC. His father, Jose Sulaiman, is the founder.
Right.
So I was a WBC champion, and we've got a good relationship with him. But Mauricio was a fan of Tyson's, you know, watching him throughout his career. And the idea of this guy coming across to boxing and representing the WBC and potentially one day in this crazy dream becoming a WBC champion really appealed to him. He's loved the idea. He loves ideas that make sense, and this one makes sense because bringing across a different audience for the UFC. So this guy's not coming to boxing, he's coming back to boxing.
Yeah.
And he's coming to boxing to do it authentically. And the challenge he's chosen, and Chris Terzieski, he wanted it. I was like, what's fucking wrong with you? You could have fought a way...
But if I fought someone easy, would you have respected me when I'm coming over to boxing? Like I come over and I'm going, I'm coming over to boxing, guys. This guy I'm fighting has
a former rugby
73 losses,
and
0 wins, you know? So I was like, fuck, I got to
Not even that. Like I was like, let's get you guys even, at least even. Let's evenly match, you know, let's even it up. Like he's, you know, take it on. Like it's a crazy challenge, and I think it's going to absolutely legitimize him overnight in the sport of boxing in this country and around the world. People go, far out, are you serious? This guy's now ranked. He wants his title. He wants his ranking. He wants that number five position in the WBC Bridgeweight division. The Bridgeweight division is a fairly new division in boxing. It's in between cruiserweight and heavyweight.
Right.
So there's, you know, it's a big disparity. I wish there was when I was fighting because I was too small. I was tiny when I was fighting cruiserweight, but I couldn't make it heavyweight anymore. But anyway, this Bridgeweight division's open because hasn't been around a long time.
Okay.
But there's a lot of stars that are coming from heavyweight down to it because they realise, hey, I can't compete with these big guys like Joshua and Wilder and Fury and these monsters. I can come down this division, it makes more sense.
Yeah.
So there's an opportunity there. He wants a piece of it. So he's taking this guy and wants his title. And man, it's bonkers.
And so how do you hear, like once you've heard that Tyson's retiring, are you coming after him? How does the process get going?
I had some inside mail that Tyson wanted to box.
Right.
So I reached out, we met up, and here we are. It's pretty simple as that.
Okay.
And our vision was kind of aligned. We had the same kind of goals in mind. We want to shake things up in boxing Australia, and I've done a deal with Stan Sports. So part of it, Stan agreed to sign with me as well because they see the value, not the value. Well, yeah, they see the value. They see the potential in Tyson Pedro becoming a commodity. Let's be honest, TV don't love people. They want them to make the money.
Yes.
They'll fall in love with them if they make the money.
Yeah.
They'll kick them to the fucking curb, but they don't. But, you know, so they see the value in a guy like Tyson Pedro, and they know my history. I launched Stan's first pay-per-view with Sonny Bill versus Barry Hall. And it was a terrible fight, but great for Sonny. Sonny smoked him. But it was a good promotion-wise, numbers-wise. It did very well.
Have you been with Stan since then? Because I saw something recently, like, and I think it was obviously when you're announcing this, whether Tyson was with you, but I wasn't sure whether that was just the announcement of the fight or whether that was a specific announcement of you guys officially partnering with Stan.
We just announced that Tyson
was
with the Green Machine Promotions and signed Tyson Pedro to a boxing contract.
Yeah.
And then today we announced that it was with Stan as well. So the fight will be live on pay-per-view, Stan pay-per-view. We've got a deal with them.
Yep.
That, you know, includes this fella here, so it's very exciting. But I think more important that this fight, Tyson said to me on the undercard, if anyone's fighting on my undercard, his undercard, they're going to challenge himself like I am, like he is. You know, it's a pretty wild thing he's trying to do, And so the undercard's going to match that because he wants to make sure, and I do too, we don't want the bell to go and go, we know the decision
anyway. Yeah. Do you think that's a bit of like the UFC in you? Like UFC cards are usually just stacked from top to bottom for the most part, yeah, right? Yeah. Like you sort of know who's, you know who's fighting who, whereas in boxing sometimes it's like you're waiting for the main event.
Yeah, it's not all boxing fights, but I think like we've gotten to a place where people are so scared to lose their zero that they're not taking like those hard fights. Mm. And I sort of like the idea of coming in and just having a tough fight, you know, bringing it back and having a crack.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to show. I'm showing it with this fight, but I want everyone on that card. Like, don't ask to come fight on the card and like get a walkover or something.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You want people to get their money's worth.
Yeah, yeah.
100%.
People are paying to watch for a good show. They want to see you having a crack.
And yep.
That's what I want to give them.
Punters and Dribblers, we are brought to you by Neds. They are the betting platform of choice here at Hello Sport. Now, you can follow along all of our bets at in the About Even private group on the Neds app. You can also follow our profiles. As I've been saying, my civilian bets are where I seem to be doing my best work. My About Even bets starting to improve. I can feel myself starting to improve. I did hit two on the weekend.
After back-to-back triple staked losses.
The triple staked losses for unit scoopers have absolutely cut to fucking the Tiger King. I may never recover from this, but the civilian bets is where you can see me getting to my work, and that is on the profiles.
Good for you, Tommy. Ned's best in the business. Come join along. Join our About Even group if you'd like as
you
well.
You mean, you know, wow, Eddie, just you're just repeating me now, are you?
I didn't hear you say that.
You just where were you? Where were you?
Pixies.
Where were you, mate?
Pixies.
Full Pixie stuff. So now you're just going to say, you're going to talk about the fucking profiles tab as well? You're going to talk about the About Even group? Yeah?
About Even group.
Yeah, how do you get in there?
That's what I said, Code Dribblers.
Oh, okay, there you go, good. Yeah. What's this ad for again?
Neds.
Oh, yeah, great point. Glad you're listening. Pixies. Pixie Simps. Shout out to Neds. We love you, Neds. We love you. Go Manly.
Now, you win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Punters and Dribblers, there's 2 days left to be in the chance to play golf. Be in with the chance to play golf at Shorty's with myself and Eddie. Buy a six-pack of Big Day Rosé at hallosport.shop. You will go in the running. We pick two winners from the month of April. But what are we doing month of May? Because we are working our way through the remainder of the most recent vintage. Got a couple left that we want to get rid of before we then turn all of our attention to the end of the year.
Just feeling generous, Tom.
We're feeling generous, and it's sale time.
We just thought, fuck it. If you buy a case and you use the code Manly, you get $50 off the case. If you buy two cases, you get $100 off.
Yep.
You get what I'm trying to say? Go to hallosport.shop. Bang, Rosé on there, code Manly, $50 off a case. Pretty fucking generous if you ask me. But we love the punter and we love the dribbler. And we're just like, let's get this vintage out there to the people that want it most.
Let's get it in the gullets of the nation.
That's right. Gullet up. How many rounds are you fighting?
10.
10 rounds. Just straight into it.
Sink or swim, brother. Sink
or swim. Fucking hell, you. My God. Unbelievable.
30 minutes.
Yeah, jeez. It's just insane. How's the cardio?
Yeah,
feeling good.
Yeah, feel good for where I'm at. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah,
and my body feels amazing not having to wrestle anymore.
Yeah, must be nice.
Rolling around honestly, the ground.
I'm not gonna lie, the body feels amazing.
Yeah.
I'll have to make sure these are good and we're sweet. So
you said before you like to sort of vision and plan and goal set. Mm. What are your goals for boxing?
I got a line of I can see the dream where it's going to. But at the moment, just Chris.
One at a time.
Chris in front of me, that's the main focus. But I know the path that I want to take. I just got to connect the dots, and I'm at dot one right now.
And is that path include like names of other fighters you want, or is it sort of like, is it a bit less specific?
It's a pathway. Yeah. Which what was really cool, and obviously I've got to win the fights, but Mauricio Sulaiman getting on there, he was like, Tyson's fighting number 5. That puts him at the number 1 spot. That puts me in title contention. You know what I mean?
Mm.
We're talking about straight away.
Yeah.
We're talking very short time, but it's pretty cool to see, well, for me anyway, that how many people have just completely written me off. like on social media, it's done. Like they're oh, easy knockout. And for me, that pumps me up because I can't wait to be on the thing. Like every one of you motherfucker keep that same energy. You know what I mean? Like so.
And as a promoter, I'm going far. Right.
But like, and like, what pumps me up is, it's like people were giving that opinion on no, because you know you couldn't do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I believe in myself. I'm gonna have a crack no matter what.
Yeah.
So when people try and bring you down, it sort of pumps me up more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just very interesting how people, just because they wouldn't have a go, try and say that you wouldn't. You're not
people, they love to shit on you having a crack, don't they? Like in anything.
Tall poppy syndrome.
Yeah. Mate, well, that's like Australia. That was founded on tall poppy syndrome.
No, no one does what this bloke's done. Like come on and going right. I want that guy.
Mm.
He's got something that I need, I want, and I want to take it. And I'm not going to take it the easy way. He's just going to go straight. He's not going to go around the fence, or he's going to bolt straight, barge straight through it. Like, it's pretty wild. It's pretty rad.
Yeah.
So as a promoter, that's exciting.
Mm.
It's very exciting.
Does part of you wish you took like a plumber or something just to start?
Not really. No. To be honest, this bloke's got a lot of layers as a human being. I've witnessed him as a human being, and that's why I'm proud to be, you know, promoting this bloke, because I've seen him. He comes down to the level of the bloke who would be walking past on the street that would think, wow, it's Tyson Pedro, I can't say nothing. 5 minutes later, they're having a conversation and they're like their best friends.
Mm.
And he can talk to a CEO of a business that may not be the best bloke, but, you know, knows his way around the block. And so he can come up and down towards all people and all walks of life, but gravitates towards the underdog, which I do. I prefer the underdog. I prefer talking to people who are just fucking real.
Mm.
And this bloke, I've seen it firsthand, and he just has a way with people. He's a way with identifying someone's quirkiness and tapping into it, and then making that person feel good about himself, which is a special thing to do with something like that.
Oh, that was beautiful.
That was beautiful.
wait till you see if Turvieski knocks you out, mate. But
I wish. Come on, brother.
He's got a lot of layers, and then when I've gone and watched him spar, you know, he's cruisy, he's cool, he's mellow here, and he's a fucking affable guy and laid back and, you know, charismatic and cool. And, you know, some people say he's handsome. But and then you see him when he spars. I've been watching him spar a couple of times. And he paces the ring. And I walked in there, you know, kind of going to go, hey, T, how you going? But I didn't bother saying hello because I could just smell like, don't come fucking near me.
Because
he's pacing the ring. It's like a lion in a cage.
Yeah, right.
And then I'm seeing this guy that's going to get in and spar with him, thinking, far out, man, you poor dude. And then I watch what happens. Like, wow. So there are definitely different sides to this bloke. But when the bell goes, or when it's time to go, this guy fucking goes.
Yeah. So where are you training at the moment?
Just in Penrith at BroFit.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll have a new gym set up, just a private gym to bring all the sparring partners down.
Yep.
So the next couple of weeks.
And who's training you?
We've got Jay, one of my trainers down there.
Okay.
Yeah. Probably not known, but he will be soon.
So obviously, like, for those who don't fully understand your old man's like influence on MMA in Australia, can you just give a little bit of background?
Yeah, so he brought King of the Cage, which was an American company, over probably, I'm so terrible with years, ask this guy. I'll be making a guess, but it was that long time ago.
Yeah.
53 years ago. he brought it over, and ever since a kid, I've been doing MMA, and you know, I was opening the cage door for these fighters. Dad made me look after the ring girls. That was my job.
So, thanks, Dad.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. But he had James Sahuna, he had me, Brad Morris, and Tony Bonello. All four of us out of Cranbrook fought in the UFC. He had four fighters fight in the UFC, which is crazy. Yeah.
Crazy.
And but it's just been a wild ride. Like I walked out for James Sahuna for his last fight. He just walked out in my corner for my last fight. So
what's it like growing up then in that sort of, like, I guess, a full like MMA, like a martial arts household?
Not very nice.
Yeah, but that's what, like, what's that? Are you, how old are you when you have your first fight? Like professional, like, you know.
So we were doing Kenpo Karate when I first started, which was with weapons. That was like seven.
What sort of weapons are you doing? Like nunchucks?
Knives, bow staffs, anise sticks.
AK-47s.
All types of weapons. Like, I got my first live sword when I was 12. Like, that's that samurai thing, the finish that I did at the end. That was one of our katas that we used to do when we were kids.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
That was sick when you did that.
Yeah,
I liked it.
I appreciate it. But
And you wanted to be a fighter? Like,
I was like, went and did every sport. I played state for volleyball and rugby league. And then
volleyball?
Yeah.
Jesus
pretty
Christ.
Pretty good tennis player too.
Really?
Played clarinet, piano. My mum put me in.
Oh, dude, yeah. I wish I played piano. Can you still play?
Tinkle a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. It was for a few years, but now it's too many punches to the head.
Yeah, broken fingers.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't look too good. Yeah, yeah. You saw that. You saw that. Yeah, No way. Yeah, and like when people were kicking around the footy when we were kids, we were choking each other out. So I've only been knocked out twice, touch wood, both times by my dad.
Both times by your dad.
He likes that one. Yeah, my front teeth are fake, nose broken, that's all dad.
Is it?
So, yeah.
What, sparring?
Yeah, you could call it that. But yeah, one time, it was actually when I told him that I wanted to box full time. I was skipping school. I pretty much every day I wanted to go to the Olympics. And he was like, all right, you want to box? Let's go. And we were sparring. And it was the first time I like actually cracked him real hard. Mm. And I saw the only other person I've seen eyes glaze over like that is Mark Hunt. And he was like, he had a fight coming up and he was like, I'm going to fucking kill you, Bobby. I was like, who's Bobby? And I just started running around the ring and then he went, think, think. And then I just remember James Sahuna, Speedy, there was a bunch of guys in the gym and everyone was pretending. I was coming to, I was like, please don't be in the gym. Please don't be in the gym. And I look around and everyone's on the ropes pretending they can't see shit. Like just looking away. And I like grabbed my teeth. I wasn't wearing a mouth guard. Oh. And I've gone to get out. And he was like, where are you going? So like, there's still a minute left on the clock. And then he just made me punch him in the mouth for like a straight minute.
Holy shit.
And like, he was trying to bite my hands like while I was punching him. So his face was all busted up. And then like, I remember when he saw my teeth were knocked out, like after everything calmed down, he was like, all right, come out the back. He was like, all right, you've earned your shot. And I was like, bullshit, you're just scared mum's going to get angry about my teeth missing. But yeah, that was we grew up pretty hard with like
safe to say the bins got put out when he died.
That's crazy.
He spent the 30 seconds you had knocked out trying to think of how the fuck he can get out of it.
Trying to sneak out army crawl out of the ropes.
So when he brought it over MMA, was no one doing it in Australia at the time?
I think there was another show, there was like one or two, but it was just starting out. Dad was still going through the process of getting the cage legalized in like certain states. Mm. Yeah, like, you weren't allowed to have the cage up. So like Dad was just making it up. Like they said no cage, it was at the Penrith Pavilion. So Dad just took the cage walls off and like had people with bumper pads around. So if anyone fell off, he was
bumping.
I remember I saw one of the worst knockouts I've ever seen. The guy went over and like his head went on the side of the ring and yeah, that wasn't the best one, but he made it happen.
Loopholes. Oh, you're not gonna sanction us? Well fuck it. We'll get up there with like, some pads. Unbelievable. Yeah. How many fights did you have back in those early days?
Lots of like jiu-jitsu and karate fights.
Yep.
Up until I was like 15, and then 5 amateur boxing. So, yeah, when I was a young kid, the one medal I keep, I don't know why I'm telling this is just a weird story, but I've got one medal from when I was a kid that I keep in my side drawer. It's a third place medal. I was like, that's the only medal I keep. I won heaps, but I was like...
Why do you keep third place? Is that like a motivational thing?
Well, because I was so confident going into that I was like, I'm going to win this. This is an easy one. And I got beat, and I remember it broke me. And I was just like, it was my... I believed in myself more than my skill. If that was... my skill didn't meet where I... as much. And then from then on, I was like, I will never let that happen again. So my skill always has to match the sense of belief.
That's sick.
That is cool.
I respect that.
I could probably... I think you and I could do with a bit of that.
Yeah.
That mentality.
Yeah, if we were fighters.
Well, no, just in life. Fighting. You mentioned Olympics before. I didn't realise you fought at the Olympics. We were discussing this earlier in 2000. So what were you in, like, what, late 20s there? Were you early
27. 20s?
27?
Yeah.
Talk about, like, what I imagine would have been fucking awesome, like the Olympics in Australia 2000. You know, like, it seemed like a fun time. What was the experience like?
Oh, it was the best. It was amazing. And when I got... selected in Canberra, you had to win. And back then, you had to, before the 2000 Olympics, you had to be the Australian champion to get selected generally. Then they changed the rules and they brought the numbers down. So the champion in each weight division from the whole oceanic region would go to the Olympics.
Yep.
That included Australia, New Zealand, Samoa, Tonga, American Samoa, Papua New Guinea, Fiji, Vanuatu, and that was it. And so you had to win the tournament. Only one person for each division in that whole tournament went to the Olympics, and I won the tournament. And got selected to go to the Olympic Games. And I'll never forget, it was down at Canberra at the AIS, which I'd spent a lot of time in previously in the Australian team for three or 4 years. Went to the Commonwealth Games in 1998, then got selected to go to the Olympics. And one thing was the best. I remember hugging my old man. My old man's gone now, but me and him were, you know, like Tyson, his old man, although the old man didn't punch me in the face. but, you know, we were super tight, like him and his father. They had a great dynamic. And yeah. and he was, you know, always with me by my side. Never pushed me, never forced me. He was an old school guy, old farmer back in the day, and just, you know, didn't box himself, but had a nose way worse than mine. So he looked like a boxer.
Yeah.
He got his head kicked a few times in footy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and I remember just giving him a hug, going, Dad, we're going to the big games. Like, yeah. It was the best.
Yeah.
And then I won my first fight against Brazil. I never forget, it was like such a magic experience winning against this tough young kid. We put on a good show and I stopped him in the fourth round. And then next fight, I come up against the gold medalist, the eventual gold medalist, and the current world champion, three-time Olympian, Alexander the Beast Lebziak. And he's like, he was probably the biggest name at the Olympic Games, and I drew him my second fight.
Lovely.
And you might be able to see my hand there, but I broke my hand on his head.
Jesus.
Holy shit.
I did that. I punched him in the head, hit him in the second round with a peach of a right hand, hit him here like a knock and punch. I've gone wham, I hit him with a beautiful shot, and he's just gone. It's like, well, I've just pissed this guy off. And then he broke my nose real bad at the end of that round, and I dropped him at the start of round two and hit him with a beautiful hand, but I broke it in the first round, then couldn't use my right hand, so I only had one hand, which made it very difficult, but I gave him the best fight he had. He went on to win the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
And I gave him the best fight he had by far. So after that, I was like, man, I know I can turn pro. I've hung with the best, the gold medalist and the world champ with one hand and a busted nose, and I'm a pup in the sport, and he's a veteran. He had over 300 fights. So I was like, you know, I got what it takes to go pro. But that whole Olympic experience was just walking into the venue, 100,000 people.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
The noise was unbelievable. And I remember they gave us this little zinc. They gave us green and gold zinc. Mm. And I remember going in a lot. How am I going to get on TV with my mates and family at home watching? Like, no one's going to fucking put a boxer on TV. So there's Kathy Freeman and Kieran Perkins and all the superstars. So I thought, I'll take the zinc and I'll paint my face green and gold. I rushed down to Australia with the last team to go into the village, although we're in alphabetical order. And then I went to the toilet quickly before when the team got called to walk out, walk from one stadium with this big march down to the stadium. It was such an epic time. And I painted my face in the toilet and came out with a full green and gold face. I'm going to get on TV for sure.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, oh, why didn't I do that? You got any more zinc? And I got on left side. And then when the first camera came by, I was like, Perth, Western Australia. And then it got on. I didn't know whether it was going to, but it got on TV. So I was like, there's Greeny. So that's awesome. It was a magic time in my life.
Unbelievable. Are the rumours true about the Olympic Village?
I was just going to ask the same question. Doesn't condom sales or something go up?
I thought you were talking about the food hall.
No comment.
It was a pretty, I don't know, man.
I didn't see anything.
Yeah. It was a magical time.
I didn't see or hear anything. I had a girlfriend. My girlfriend then, who's now my wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, been with the same girl for 30 years. So, there was a lot of talk around that stuff. Food hall was good.
If you broke your hand, well, you did break your hand in that fight. Even if you'd beaten him, like, how would you have competed for the rest of the Olympics? You just would have fucking done it, eh? Like, is that sort of like,
depending, I broke this hand in the Commonwealth Games in the first round and then won the fight, but I had to fight another four rounds and then couldn't fight after because it was really bad.
Yeah, that's what I mean, right? Like,
where did you say he was from?
The Olympics?
Yeah.
From Russia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
And then, I would have tried my best to continue, because I fought with, you know, we've all done it. It's what fighters do. You fight with broken hand, broken nose, broken jaw, whatever. You just do it.
I hurt my calf today riding an elliptical. So fucking sat down to a podcast, got up and went, oh, she's a bit tight.
Yeah,
I might have to give it up for today.
See, you're still going, man.
When I tore my ACL, I kept going like I was until the third round because I was like, fuck, if I quit, Dad's just going to beat me up more out the back. I just kept falling over.
Yeah, dude, that was fucked, Dave. Was that against Shogun?
Yeah.
Dude, and weren't you, and just like from memory, I know it's a while ago, but weren't you kind of winning that fight? Yeah. Or weren't you doing, you were doing like, I thought you were like on top of him and then it...
Yeah. And then
you just kept going and then it just fucking got fucking scattered at the end.
So multiple rounds with a ACL.
Yeah.
Blown out ACL.
Second and third.
That'd be horrific. Give me a broken hand all day.
Yeah. And his leg just kept collapsing under it like it was...
Thinking back on it, like I should have swapped to southpaw and then like not put all the balance on there, but it was like when it was happening, I didn't even know what was going on. It just sounded like a twig snap and then I would step back and I'd just go, ding. People thought it was a punch, but...
Man.
Jesus Christ. How many injuries have you had in your career?
Oh, a lot.
Yeah,
pretty much. Every
remember James Tahuna fought with a broken arm
yeah.
in London.
Yeah, and like, but yeah, it was like fingers, complete, like, I've got, I'll show you the photo afterwards, but my ankle was facing the other, like, my foot was facing the other way.
Terrific.
Spiral fracture in the tibia. Oh, and always, like, the surgeons usually mess it up. So I came back and I found out a year later that they had put it in the wrong spot.
Oh, great.
And like the ACL, I was out for 4 years.
Because that's what I was interested in that. I wasn't, 4 years? Was it all from the ACL for that?
Longest layoff in UFC history. So hopefully they get the Hall of Fame or something. So I'd used hamstring and they put it in the wrong tunnel. So I went back for my first fight and the first like takedown, it just went boof after 9 months. So I went back in. They were like, all right, we'll use we'll use the patella. They cut out my IT band, and then I ended up doing my meniscus like during COVID after that. So it was just back to back to back.
Do you send a Stern email after they fucked that up? No,
I like it because, like, you know, Australia, if it was America, you sue, right?
But yeah.
It was like, also, I just wanted to get through it. Like, the first time it happened, I was like, I'm straight back in the gym. This is easy. Nothing's going to stop me. Second time I was happening, I was like, this is a bit of a shit go.
Yeah.
Third time, I was like, fuck this.
I was like, ridiculous.
You got all your family going. Like, when you wrap it up, like, is that it? Like, probably call it quits. I was like, I always knew I was going to get back. I just didn't think it was going to take that long.
It's a crazy amount of time to be out. Did it feel like, is that the ring rust, is that there?
Not really. Like there was a couple shots that I took that I probably shouldn't have, but I didn't really feel it. I was just amped. Afterwards, I was so excited to fight that I just wanted to fight everyone afterwards. Like I was like, it was hard to switch off. Like I beat the guy and then I still was looking for someone to fight.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah. Like I could see myself in there afterwards, and I was like, "Oh,
just go home and get the back out of dad."
Yeah, exactly.
Are the UFC good about the injury layoffs that long, or do they start to get a bit itchy themselves?
Man, that's why I'll never say anything bad about the UFC because I could have, they could have cut me, and like I would have been screwed. But they kept me on, and that was that part of the journey. And
And look, I know you're currently sitting next to your promoter right now, but how does he compare to, say, like Dana White? Is there, you know, like what's that? What's the experience, I guess, like someone like
he's got more hair.
Dana White, man. Dana White. He's a juggernaut. No, I don't mean like who's better.
But if I was going to say.
No. But you know what I mean? No, like, I guess
you know, the difference is more personal.
Yeah.
Like, I've met Dana twice, like, and we shook hands. Yeah, we shook hands. But like, I've pretty much been with this guy every day, like on the phone with him. So it's a completely different system, completely different machine, like how it all works. We actually have to sell the fight with boxing, like with UFC, people are going to watch no matter what, you know. So
I guess it's a much smaller scale.
Yeah,
for sure. It's much smaller, and the UFC is the biggest sporting engine on the globe, and the money they have for marketing and promoting is. I have no idea, but it would be astounding.
Yeah.
And so they have a massive company. Mm. Because, you know, Green Machine Promotions isn't a massive company at all. So it's more intimate. Like most promoters, like majority of promoters around the world, we're not the biggest. You know, we've done a lot of big shows, a lot of stadiums, and we're hitting the ground running again. And for me, it's different. I'm learning about social media and digital marketing, etc. I'm learning about that because I'm 51 and old boy, and that wasn't really around when I was fighting much. So there's a lot for me to learn, but it's a lot more intimate, and we have to Tyson's learning that to be the main event and to resonate with the public, you have to be accessible to the public and you have to be accessible to the media, whereas the NRL, AFL, their players, they don't want their players talking to the media. They want to control them. They just get the AFL machine to talk to the player, to the manager or the coach, talk to the media, or a media liaison will talk to the media. They don't want the players talking to the media. So, but we have to put bums on seats, and Tyson has to do that. He's learning that.
So Danny's suggested OnlyFans, but we're just
slowly.
Nice. We don't want to go too fast, you know.
That'd get sales ticking in.
I'm glad it wasn't around when I was fighting, because you'd been a pair of budgie smugglers would have gone, woo.
Yeah. You buy the fight, I'll show you.
Viral,
a bit.
For
the wrong reason.
Prove you bought the fight.
You bought the fight. A little bit of a
thang. Cheek,
bit of cheek.
So do you almost prefer the old days when it wasn't so much like trash talky and you didn't need to necessarily do all that sort of the focus on social media wasn't so great to determine fighting, or is it just like,
well, we got the front page, you know, Chocker and I shared the front page in the national newspaper so many times. It was ridiculous. And not just for that, for Roy and for other fights we had, you know, we're kind of with boxing, you know, back in the day, we were running pretty hot. And, you know, we had the front page around the whole country and a lot of times. It was quite bizarre.
Mm.
And so now, you know, you the media is different. It works in different ways. And so, I prefer the older days because the media was authentic. Mm. Which today it seems, you know, you can... There's so many stunts pulled and so many things that are contrived and aren't authentic and genuine, and it gets so much media. It's bullshit.
Mm.
And then I find that whole social media side of things can be very toxic.
Yeah,
can be very toxic, very negative.
Mm.
And also can be amazing. It can be uplifting and it can be beautiful. So there's two sides. So it depends which side you want to try and find or which side you want to look at. But as far as, like, you know, for instance today, you know, oh, he's going to wipe the floor with you. This is the blah, blah. It's like, why don't people just be uplifting and try and bring someone up and rise them up and be cool and go, mate, good luck. Yeah. Sick fight. Can't wait to watch it. Instead of being negative.
Yeah.
Because no one's accountable. No one's held accountable anymore. Yeah. You hold someone accountable, they won't say shit. No one's going to come up to this guy's face and tell them what they really think.
Highly unlikely.
Not a chance. Not unless they've just, you know,
but even
a crack of meth.
Yeah. I think having experienced it before sort of is a bit better. So, like, I went through it after my fight in Perth, and that was the first time I got hit with, like, a lot of negativity. And it rocked me because I was also, like, I was sick. I broke my ankle. I was on painkillers. So it was, like, when I got all of that hate and then people messaging my wife, messaging my kid, like, talking about my kid, I was, like, trying to meet up to fight people and stuff, but now it's like I obviously spoke with people that have dealt with that hate, and like now it pumps me up. Like you can see it in a different light. Whereas if I hadn't experienced that before, this would be the first time I'm experienced all of that on social media, and it can rock you.
Yeah,
like it can get to you, and I understand because that's why people are going through like online bullying and stuff because they don't know how to handle it. We're not supposed to deal with that.
How do you handle it now?
Pretty good. It pumps me up now. So I was just telling you this before, I've got a receipts folder, just go on, check. But it's just, as long as you understand that people, like I told you, Israel, like I'm paraphrasing, but he said whether they give you good energy or bad energy, they're giving you your energy. It's up to you how you use it. So it's like, all right, you're hating on me, but you're still going to watch me. And I was like, I'm going to use that. Like, it's going to give me a chip on my shoulder in training when I remember that you were like saying that I couldn't do something.
He seems like quite a deep thinker. Is he? Has he got like heaps of those lessons that he's sort of?
Yeah, we go. Imparts? Yeah, we go. I got pretty close with him in camps because we were like, he used me. We bounced back and forth for a bit. It was really good.
Mm.
And you've got a couple of like businesses on the go, or at least you've got. I mean, you've got your half cast podcast.
Yeah, just started U-Box with my partner. I just partnered with U-Box.
Yeah. Shane and Pedro Promotions. Came in there. But so you got the half cast podcast, but then you've also got Drink West with Ty and Nathan. How's that going?
Yeah, pretty cool. It was like something that just started as a joke before. You know, we like beers. Why don't we make a beer, so we're not buying other people's. So it's and then it just blew up fast. We did a crowdfund. So we actually gave shares to the people that raised the money, and they became investors. And we opened up our own brewery. We should have our new sports bar going in Penrith.
What's that been called again? I saw it.
Freddy's.
Yeah,
I read about that.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. It'd be the first sports bar and out west and. It's just been a cool journey. Like that all came from as well in COVID when I was injured. I didn't know what I was doing. So I was like, man, if this was it, then my fighting career, I got nothing else going on. So I was like, let's start doing something. So we did Wings Out West first because Ty and I bought this beer. And when they dropped it off, we were looking at it like, bro, how are we going to sell this much beer? Like, we're just fobs ordering. So we like ordered like we just ordered this crazy amount of beer and we're just like, sweet. And then it got there and we're like, this is way too much. So I was like, what goes with beer? We're like, wings. So we opened up a Wings West restaurant in COVID to sell the beer.
Really?
Yeah. And then bro, just two fobs, just not. And then we did an Italian restaurant. Now Ty's got a couple other restaurants out there, but
it's all happening.
It's good though, right? Yeah, just like hustling and just trying to make something happen.
Well, just like, I'm like, what do I like?
Yeah,
just like, all right. And then if like, shoot first, ask questions later. If it scares me, I sort of run at it. Like this fight, It's like if something like is put you out of your comfort zone,
yeah,
it's like that's what I got to do. Like that's why that's what's been making me enjoy life and giving me a sense of purpose, being out of my comfort zone. Yeah.
Love that.
Do you enjoy the business side of things with Drink West? Like,
yeah,
are you hands on?
A little bit, not as much. Just in the last couple because of the fights.
Yep.
So it's been pretty busy fight schedule this last year, but we've got a good team that is working it.
Yeah.
How was that video you did? I think it was promoting Drink West. You were out in a shed and you're all singing, and Nathan Cleary was fucking
the voice of an angel.
Was that how many takes was that?
Yeah, no, about 100. I'd be surprised.
It was so fucking horrific.
So that was the actually the site that where we did the brewery.
Yeah, okay.
But it was that was real hard to get through, because I would just bust out like it was too much.
Yeah,
have you got a good voice?
Me?
Yeah. Have you not seen our admission at all?
No.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Nathan Cleary is tone deaf.
Yeah.
He's horrific.
He wouldn't be as bad as me.
Oh, mate, dude, honestly, he'd be one of the worst in the country. It's like the direct inverse of his footy.
We'll always love you.
Oh, there you go, mate. You shit on Nathan Cleary. Don't worry about that.
But they're like, that's gone like, we're going to make a really good football player. We can't give you everything, right?
That's what I mean.
It's like, we're going to take the voice away.
You can't have it all. It's not fair.
Nah, sorry. Three premierships in a row. You can't sing, bro. Fuck that.
You're not allowed.
There was another video, and this is sort of nothing to do with business, but you put up and I was pissing myself, but it was like you and a family member, and I don't know if it was your old man, and he's just sitting in the back of a van on a chair.
That's New Zealand.
Wait, that was in New Zealand?
Well, allegedly.
That was so funny. What the fuck was that? We can cut it out if it's there.
It's all right. So Chad, the Chad who's with us right now as well, they were driving, they only had that car to pick me up from the airport in. And there was no seat in the back, and Dad didn't want to sit on the floor, so he just popped open his
it's like a fold-out chair, just in the middle of the back of a van.
I think he actually fell off of it one time, because then that chair's comfier. Dad's got very wide hips, so that was comfier for him. So he started sitting in there, and Chad's just hooked it, and Dad's gone over the side. And Chad got out of the...
If we can find that video online, it'll be inserted.
Yeah, we must insert.
Fellas, we've really appreciated coming on. So just for everyone again, June 12th, Pedro Krestevsky.
I like Krestevsky.
What is it actually?
Chris Terzieski.
Chris Terzieski. Forgive me. That's a, it's not the easiest pronunciation.
Yeah. No, it isn't. Stan Sport, pay-per-view.
Horden Pavilion.
Horden Pavilion.
Yep, Ticketek.
Tickets on sale right now.
Hit the link, Ticketek. But it's. I mean, also on the undercard, you got Alex Winwood, who is ranked number 2 in the WBC strawweight division, Olympian, Commonwealth Games representative, the Indigenous kid on the up. He's 4-0, and we spoke about people challenging himself. Mm. He's fighting a kid called Joey Canoy from the Philippines. Joey Canoy's beaten the world champion that just won the world championship against the Mexican Soto 2 weeks ago. Canoy's beaten him. Canoy's 20-5. Winwood's 4-0. You know, like it doesn't get any better than
Team underdog.
You know, it's just the main event and the semi-main event are both, from what people say, underdogs. I think both win the fights. And I'm very confident they're going to win the fights. But that's what makes this show exciting. This bloke's cutting no corners. And it's pretty radical, and I can't wait to see him. And I can't wait to see his hand raised in victory and everyone going far out. This guy ain't playing around. We want to watch the next one.
I actually realised I forgot a couple of questions. If you don't mind, just quickly, I want your thoughts on Tim Zhu the other week. Was that a fight that should have been stopped because of that, like that cut? I know there's people that sort of saying that. What's your thoughts on the way that goes? Is that something that should have happened?
I wasn't there, but I'm. If the referee, what I'm told, did come over to the corner and ask the corner, "Can you stop the bleeding?" which I think he did, and the manager was in the corner, and the trainer's in the corner, and the cut man's in the corner, and they said yes, then they're liable for what happened.
Yeah.
The cut man was completely and utterly out of his depth. That's a fact. I'm not saying anything negative about the bloke. He was out of his depth. He couldn't do that. Mm. That cut, I've spoken of many experienced cut men, that cut could have and should have been stemmed. Would have been stopped, but it didn't get any better the whole way through. Then you see the guy fumbling through because he's just, and he had the bits, had these, like, he might as well put a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah.
Right. Because he just is inexperienced.
Yeah.
Very simple. So, you know, hopefully Tim learns from that. But you know, Tim's a warrior.
Yeah.
And you know, and in defence to Fundora, Fundora had a badly broken nose from the first round and couldn't breathe because he was swallowing so much blood. I know what that feels like. It's very difficult to breathe. So when your engine comes down because you can't get oxygen in, it's very difficult. Had a bad cut in his mouth as well. So both guys were dealing with a lot of adversity during the fight, and both blokes displayed their warrior spirit.
Have you ever seen such like a disparity between like fighters before like that? It felt bizarre to see the size of the fucking Fundora and then Tim. Have you ever seen that?
I thought a guy was 6'5". But it wasn't the same. There was probably about 6 inches difference between that. And it looked so different because of he's so skinny.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fundora's so skinny. Mm. Because he's, you know, not a very heavy guy. But yeah, mate, you know, it was what it was. He did what he had to do and he boxed beautifully. And, you know, Tim will come back bigger and bigger and better and stronger than ever. But, you know, I love watching Tim Zoo. He's a warrior.
We were looking on your Instagram earlier and Chock was in a photo, I think, when it was announcing the fight there. Are you guys mates now? Like, is that the... What's the go
you bro
there?
Down now? Or what?
Yeah, you guys cool?
I got a lot of love for Chock. He's got a lot of love for me. You know, we dominated the headlines for 15 years in boxing.
Yeah.
And we both, you know, did very well. Made each other, you know, made each other's careers so much more fulfilling financially. And we're prize fighters. That's what you do. You want to fight for the biggest prize. But also the amount of interest that was around what we're doing at that time was pretty wild. And I've always had a lot of love and respect for Chock. I've always been his biggest advocate, although I'm not a wood duck and just going to sit there and cop shit he says. he's an incredible fighter, incredible athlete, and a super, like, for instance, he came down and supported me and Tyson and supported something that I'm doing.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of guys come down, they didn't show.
Mm.
Chock comes down.
Mm.
That shows the essence of the man.
Yeah, right.
Yep. So, people ask me, you guys just mates off camera? I thought, that annoys me because you're basically telling me I'm a liar.
Mm. Yeah.
And you're attacking my integrity by asking me that question.
Mm.
Mm. I couldn't act. I'd need an Oscar if I could act like that. But, the real thing is our rivalry will never be, it'll always be there because it's authentic.
Mm.
Chock will go to his grave saying he's a better fighter than me, and I'll go to my grave saying I am. And that's it. And that's why the rivalry will always stay, and it's real, but there's a lot of love and respect.
And you won all. So there you go.
One apiece, yeah. You know, if he doesn't watch what he's saying, one day he might give a cheek. Just joking. We're done. We're too old.
It's a little bit of singing competition, mate. I reckon
One more out of curiosity. Does Sonny Bill and Gal, did that ever come close to getting signed off on or no?
Yeah, it did. Got real close. It won't happen now. Mm. You know, Gal's retired from boxing, and you know, I think it's a smart move that Gal made.
He said today, if I needed any help with the fight, I was like, "Yeah, just sparring." He said, "Nope."
Gal's an old war horse, mate.
Yeah.
And it was very close to happening. It would have been a great fight. Would have been really interesting to see those two boys throw down.
Yeah.
Gal's, Sonny Bill's a gentleman. And he's, again, he came to support Tyson as well. And, you know, they both realise that it's passed now.
Yeah.
And it was there for a while. But, yeah, would have been a really interesting fight.
That would have been good.
I don't know which way it would have gone because you can never count Gal out because he's just a warrior and Sonny's got that power and that speed and that athleticism.
Yeah.
Would have been exciting.
Parramatta fan?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And Penrith fan? How do you see your Parramatta? Like, we're Manly fans over here. You beat us the other day and obviously, like, we're fucking dirty on it, but, like... Do you follow the club closely in there? Or
I used to. So I've trained at the club for 5 years, my strength and conditioning team. Hayden Knowles and Craig Catterick were the same guys that did the Parramatta Eels. So I trained at the club for 5 years. That was where I'd go and train. And so I got to know the club real well and got to know the guys really well. It was from 2005 to 2010, so 5 or 6 years there. So I was really close to the game. And Sticky and Bellyache invited me into the – Craig Bellamy and Ricky Stewart invited myself into the camp. 2000 and Angela Hodder in 2010, 2011, the Origin camp. So I was around the game a lot, and they used to come watch my training sessions and sparring. So I was really involved with the game. And since I moved back home to Perth, I haven't been as involved anywhere near as much.
Yeah.
So I loosely keep an eye on what's going on. Like, I'm not a. I watch surfing and fishing and boxing.
Yeah.
YouTube, right. And that's all. I don't watch TV. I listen to music and podcasts. That's about it. You know, I've tuned out of society to a degree.
Oh, that's nice. And you're a Penrith man. Manly beat you on the weekend.
Yeah, I saw that. I just see that.
That's just a comment.
No,
yeah, yeah, it's all right.
Just we a statement
to
finish.
Got plenty of time left in
just
the
a
year.
Statement of fact. That's all. That was it. So let's finish on
just
that.
Just a statement.
Just we'll just wrap it up there. Thanks, boys.
Thanks,
boys.
Thanks for coming in, fellas. Really nice to chat. Really nice to meet you both.
Appreciate it.
Love you, boys. Cheers.
Could you two just not talk anymore?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.